Continuing my series on the goodness of God, and I'm going a little bit different direction tonight because I want to go to our response to God's goodness. What is our response to God's goodness? Because we can respond wrongly and think we're responding rightly. And that's what I want to be able to talk about tonight from God's Word, looking at this wonderful passage of Scripture, Psalm 116, which has so many wonderful things to say about the goodness of God. And I want to focus in on verses 12 through 14. We're going to begin at the first verse. I love the Lord. How many of you love the Lord tonight? I pray it's not just words, but from the heart, you love the Lord and you're not afraid to tell Him. When you go to prayer, that needs to be the first thing you say, Lord, I love you. You should. You should love Him. The fact that you're breathing, you're alive, is something to thank the Lord for and be grateful for and understand that's His love that's being exercised in your behalf. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render? Now this is an important question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? And in the Hebrew language, it's the word that is often translated goodness. His goodness to me. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious Father in heaven, I pray that You'd open these verses of Scripture to our hearts tonight and that we might ask some very important questions and get the right answers of how we should respond to the benefits, the goodness that You provide to us every day of our lives. We thank You, Father, for how good You are to us and how good You are to those that are not believers in Christ. Your common grace that's provided throughout the world, through creation. We thank You for that, and we pray, Father, that You would help us to respond rightly to that goodness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? That question demands a right answer. Can I render anything that would repay the benefits, the goodness that God has given me? Absolutely not. So we might ask the question, why is David even asking this question? What shall I render? You can't render. Well, the word render that we have in our English is really not a good translation of that word. It's the idea of payment. And it's a rhetorical question because the answer is, I can't pay anything back. All I can do is receive what God has freely given. That's the idea that's behind these verses of Scripture here, and I want to emphasize that to us because sometimes we can come up with the wrong answer. We can think that somehow I'm gonna give Him everything, every part of my being. Well, understand, that's wonderful, but it's not a repayment. You can't repay. And by the way, that mentality is almost an offense to God's goodness and grace. Because what is grace? It's giving to us what we do not deserve with zero expectation of a repayment or a return. That's the good. Jesus Christ came and gave himself on the cross, shed his precious blood. I can't repay that. There's no way. And so we're going to see in verses 13 and 14, David understands this, David knows this, and he responds with three important lessons for us. I hope that we can hang on each one of them, take it to heart, and realize there's nothing I can do to repay God's goodness. There's nothing I can do. Should I serve him? Yes. Should I love him? Yes. The point is, as he asks this question, how can I repay this? David comes up with the answer, and it's not what you expect. You know, whenever people borrow things from us and say, I'll pay you back. How many of you have gone out to lunch with somebody and said, oh man, I forgot my wallet. I'll pay you back sometime. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And you pay for their meal or whatever. What about the ones that keep doing it? Oh, I forgot my wallet again. I forgot my wallet again. 8 times in a row. Now, what do you begin to do? You begin to think, this person is not bringing their wallet on purpose because they know I'm going to pay for it. Now, at that point, you start thinking, next time, I'm not paying for the meal. Isn't that the natural human attitude? But do you realize what God did through his Son for us? Every time we fail, every time we sin, it's a sin against God's grace and his goodness. But God never comes to a place, well, that's it. I'm done with this. I'm not gonna forgive them anymore. They're going to have to come crawling to me. I remember hearing that on occasion from individuals that I highly respected that said, until they come and they beg for my forgiveness, I'm not forgiving them. Does God work that way? No. Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood without any expectation of any sinner receiving him. He did it because of God's goodness and grace. Do you understand that? Can you imagine if God had that attitude? I'll send my son to die for these worthless, no good sinners as soon as they start crawling to me and begging me. And then I'll think about it. Do you realize that forgiveness is more about the person that's forgiving than it is about the person that's being forgiven? Because what does it tell you about the forgiver? They're gracious. They're good. People that have that kind of mentality, they're going to have to come crawling to me first. They're going to have to ask me before I forgive them. They're going to have to do all these things. They're going to have to check all these boxes. And then maybe I'll forgive them. No, you won't, you liar. No, you won't. Because you'll find another box downstream. Oh, I forgot about that one. They didn't check that one. Oops, sorry. No forgiveness for you. Some people live miserable, rotten lives because they misunderstand forgiveness. Forgiveness. Do you know that I can forgive somebody before they ever ask? Because that's exactly what God did. He forgave. Now we have to receive his free gift. We have to receive. But we're receiving that forgiveness that was secured on the cross of Calvary. Amen. He didn't say, I'm withholding this. No, he freely gave. So with that in mind, David looking forward to the cross, looking forward to the work of Christ in the future, shares three things about this thing. What do I do to repay? What shall I repay unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What should be my response to his goodness in that regard? Well, how do you respond to somebody's goodness to you? Some people can't accept a gift without thinking something awful. Oh, they're trying to work an angle. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to work an angle. So I'm gonna pay it back. You're not gonna get that angle. What is wrong? That's the old wicked heart, folks. David responds, verse 13, by saying this, I will what? I will take the cup of what? Salvation. Now, folks, don't misunderstand this. It's not the cup that's important. It's what's in the cup. Do I hear an amen? And what's in the cup? Salvation. When we were growing up, my grandmother had an old little water thing that she used, ladle, that she had hanging on the side of her thing. It's probably still hanging there. I don't know. What was that thing called? The old metal dipper? Yeah, the dipper. And that was Old South. Everybody had them. They used to have them hanging on the well head. You know, you pump the lever. My grandmother had one of those. And they'd have a little ladle there. And you'd just go with the dipper and you'd get some of that cold water that came up out of the ground. And that dipper was the ugliest thing I think I've ever seen in my whole life. It'd been dropped 1,000 times. It was all dented. And you didn't know whose lips had been on it last. Because I don't think it would have ever washed all those years. It was always my grandmother, drink, hang it up. She'd pull it off in the water, drink, hang it up. And then sometimes she'd say, y'all want some water? And she'd go grab the pitcher and, you know, you drink. We didn't think anything about it. But I imagine that there was chalcomagus. That's a new form of bacteria. My grandmother used to say the chalcomagus got them, you know, and I don't know what that was. I was scared to half to death, though, that I would get it. And it was this old pitcher, this old dipper, old tin thing with a long handle, ugly, tarnished. But you know what it held? Cold water. And that's what I wanted. That's what I need. It really didn't matter about the cup so much as what was in the cup. And David says here, I will take that cup of deliverance. I will accept it. That's the first response that we need to have. I will accept this salvation that's given to me by God's goodness and grace. I will accept it. I will take it in. I'm not going to push it away. I'm going to take it. Do you realize that what evangelism is? It's dealing with people who either accept or reject the salvation of Jesus Christ. It's not easy to witness to somebody that just doesn't want to listen. I've had people get upset with me, offer them a tract, said, hey, when you got a few minutes, would you take this tract and read it? I don't want to read it. I don't want to read it. And so you take it, you put it back in your pocket. And, you know, rejection is part of it. They don't want the living water of salvation. And we look at that and we say, oh, how awful that is. They're rejecting the free, wonderful goodness of God to them. David says, my response will be this, I will accept the deliverance that God has secured for me. I'll accept it. I won't push it away. I won't say until later. Remember Agrippa? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What did he do? He pushed it away. Who knows whether he ever accepted Christ or not? But I know this, folks. We're to receive it. Number two, notice please, verse 13. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Not only will I receive the cup of salvation, but I will depend upon the giver of the gift. That's what he's saying. I will call upon his name. What does it mean to call? I was speaking to someone I hadn't seen in a long, long time. Today, I was over in Pensacola and ran into him. I was sitting in the Ford, World Ford. I had a recall on the pickup truck, and so I was over there for 3 hours staring at a wall. And I read my Bible. I read Call of the Wild. I read I don't know how many different articles in 3 hours. I was amazed at how much reading I got done. But I ran into somebody I hadn't seen in a long time, and they were telling me they had their first grandchild, and I was congratulating them. And the first thing that they did, the phone whipped out, and the picture was shown. And I bragged, it was a beautiful baby. And I was bragging on him. I said, well, Grandpa, what does it feel like? And he said, it's the greatest feeling in the world. He said, I never have experienced this before. And he said, you know what I'm waiting for? The day where this little one, little girl, says, Paw Paw. He said, I've already determined that's what I want to be called. Whenever I hear that word Paw Paw, I'm going to melt right into the floor. And I said, well, I said, be up for a change. It may not be Paw Paw. It may be something else. They may call you a different name. And he said, well, that'll be fine. I can adjust. But he said, Paw Paw is going to sound pretty good. What is it? It's that little voice calling out to you. It's the most wonderful sound in the world. I remember whenever we were having a little battle in our house when Gregory was getting up and started talking and whatever. What's he going to say first? Is he going to say Mama or is he going to say Daddy? Guess who won? Mama. What?
Mama.
Mama. How did you know that?
We experienced the same thing.
Everybody's in the same boat. Yeah, it's that voice calling out to you. They want you. And the Lord has given the cup of salvation, but He wants you to keep coming back to Him. Do I hear an amen? You keep calling on me because I've got more. I've got more. Are you seeing the response here? The response is to take that free gift. The response is keep calling upon Him. Call upon Him. Reach out to Him. Declare before the people. We're going to see in the third thing the goodness of the Lord. A thank offering. Notice this in the first part of verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. You know what's interesting? Paying his vows. David in the previous Psalms leading up through verse 16 kept saying that he would, if God would deliver him, he would sing his praises. He would thank the Lord. That was his vow. He was going to praise the Lord. And now he says, I'm going to keep that vow. I will pay the vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. What is he saying there? I will declare before the people the goodness of the Lord and his provision. Before everybody. What do we do so many times? We're complaining. We're whining. I'm sitting in the thing today, in the room over at World Ford, and there was a lady that was in there, and she was upset. She had been waiting for 30 minutes for an oil change. How many of you think that's an incredibly long period of time? Okay. Thank you, Joan. You'd have been right with that woman. And she just, have you ever gotten to the point where you just got up and just went somewhere else? I went and stood out in the rain. Oh. It was raining. And I said, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. She was just going off. You come here and you sit here in this chair and you're waiting. The television doesn't even work. And it didn't, you know. Now, she had a phone. I had my phone. I entertained myself. I read my scripture verses for the day. I read the Call of the Wild. And I was reading some other articles and so forth that I had been looking at. And I was reading like that, but she couldn't figure that out. The TV's not working. And she got up, and one of the World Ford people was walking through, and she said, "How long is it going to be before I get my car?" And he said, "Well, ma'am, I don't even know where your car is in the line at this particular point, but I'll be glad to look for you. By the way, did you get your text from the lady?" And she pulled out her phone. Woo! She had already gotten the text that her car was done. Want to do that again?
Ooh.
She's sitting there stewing. And on her phone was a text from Judith. Judith is in charge of texting all the people. I got to meet Judith. I went and thanked her because I got a text early. Mine was supposed to take 4 hours. And I got mine in 3 hours. So I went to Judith and I said, "Thank you very much. Would you pass along to whoever the tech was? Thank them for getting it done early." Because I knew that robo-mouth that had been chewing and we had to sit there and listen to it, when all she had to do was pull out her phone and she had the text right there, it said her car had been serviced and ready for pickup. It was sitting right outside the door. TV is not working. Okay? Really? What's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is we don't know how to live in this world, in our own natural state. We don't know how to live in this world. And so we become people who look inside all the time, always looking inside and how things are affecting me. This passage of Scripture says, my response to the goodness of God and all of His benefits is to pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. You know what that lady did? She got up, walked out the door, and went and got her keys and got in her car and left. And there was a black couple sitting in the back there. And when she walked out the door, he went, everybody in there just started, You know, he'd had it too. Now, you know what's nice? I can take my hearing aids and go to my phone. Whoop, whoop. Don't hear it anymore. But it was a woman that didn't know how to act. She didn't know how to deal. She was imposed upon 30 minutes for an oil change. I mean, that's kind of short, don't you think? But she was in a hurry. She had places to go and she had people to meet and all that kind of stuff. And then she had to put everybody that was in that room through it. And it was unnecessary. Here, the vow that David said he was going to pay was a vow of thanksgiving to God. I told God that if He would deliver me, I would praise His name. I would sing His praises. He goes on and on in the previous Psalms leading up to this passage where he talks about the goodness of God. He says, I will sing unto the Lord. I will praise His name if He will do these things. And so the vow is of praise and thanksgiving and adoration. By the way, it's repeated again in the same one. If you go down further, you'll see in verse 17, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. That's the vow. I will praise your name. That, folks, is our response to the goodness of God. It's not the ideal. I'm going to repay this work of grace. I'm going to repay it, and I'm going to do this. Stop. Stop. Take the cup of salvation. And what's the second one? Can you remember what it is? Verse 13, second part. I will call upon the name of the Lord. And thirdly, I will pay my vows of thanksgiving and adoration to God in the presence of all the people. I'm going to vocalize it to everybody. I want everybody to know how good and wonderful my God is. That's what I'm going to do. In some sense, That's repayment. Because what does God desire from His children? He desires their love and their adoration and their thanksgiving. That's what He desires. He loves that. You read the Psalms, you find that over and over again. Let's thank the Lord for His goodness to us. The many benefits that you and I enjoy every day. Have you sat down to count today what He did? The goodness of God. How many times that the Lord spared us? There was lightning all around us today. And I live with that in the back of my mind, and I always text, make sure, right, there's lightning within 10 miles, make sure the pool's empty. You know, we can worry about that, but it's serious. Somebody could die. And the Lord was good. There's always somebody else that's going through something more difficult than us. And God is still good. God is still good.